Hey everybody, welcome to episode 2. This episode is a particularly deep learning session. We just sat down and recorded a session with one of my students who's taking me up on my offer to give one-on-one personalized instruction. Now, over the course of the next hour, we will examine the core cards in great detail. To get the most out of this episode, I hope that you'll take the time, grab your core cards, and just lay them out and follow along. If you do this, you will never have problems with the core cards ever again. Now, of course, if you have any questions after listening to this episode, just email me or post your questions on the ATS forums. As always, thanks for listening. Okay, let's join the episode already in progress. So that's why tarot cards have 56 minor arcana and 21 major arcana. See, it all makes sense. The Fool is considered outside of the major arcana, even though you can say 22 cards. But
yeah, I was wondering about that one card. I didn't want to ask.
Yeah, well, it's not accidental that the tarot has this many cards or that many cards. I mean, it's got 78 cards for a reason. But I should probably start. Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode number 2 of the Easy Tarot Lessons podcast. On the call with me today, I have my very special private student, Seika. Please say hello.
Hello.
There we go. And today we're going to be talking about court cards, which is a good thing because we need to address this. But you'd mentioned that you're kind of having trouble with court cards. So I'm going to use you as my guinea pig. So pardon me while I move this around. So what is it about the court cards? What are they doing to you?
I'm having my most problems, I guess, with the kings and the queens.
Well, what are the problems? I mean, you're going along reading and then one of these cards comes up. What's
reading, what it means, the feeling of it.
Well, let's do this. Let's start with the kings. This is just going to be, now this isn't the all-encompassing thing. We'll talk about court cards at some point in the future, obviously.
Like the King of Swords, he's just sitting there, he looks like
right.
Very bored.
Right. We're gonna cover this, and just a note to everybody, this is not a one-time conversation. We'll definitely go into the court cards on several occasions, and I will probably, in some of my interviews with the tarot experts, I'll ask their opinions. But what I want to do right now is I want to just grab your kings and lay them all out so that you can see the cups, the King of Wands. I want you to be able to see them all at once. So, King of Swords. Now, look at this. What I want you to do is look at the King of Swords and notice how he is different from the rest of the kings. Now, the King of Cups is kind of cattywampus. He's kind of at an angle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's to show he's kind of squiggly. King of Wands is facing off in the distance. He's looking at something. He's not concerned with you because he's got a kingdom to run.
Okay.
And you see his fist. He's about ready to get up and punch somebody. He's hot-tempered and he's angry. I love the King of Coins. King of Coins reminds me of Larry Flint. I mean, he's just looking at me, he's like, that's right. I'm the king and I got all this money. I can have whatever I want. I mean, he's just covered in wealth and smugness.
I know, well, that you can see.
But the King of Swords is staring you down. He's like, he is paying attention to you. You know, the King of Swords is like the Uncle Sam poster from, was it World War I, World War II? I don't know, but he's going, I want you to join the army. And he's like in your face, pointing at you.
Mm-hmm.
That's what the King of Swords is like. He's just kind of looking straight at you. All the other kings kind of, you know, I got to say, I like this guy. He's egalitarian. I was using that word earlier. He'll look at you. He'll give you your attention. Maybe it's not a good thing. This is the boss watching you. So let's call the king the boss just for a moment.
Okay.
None of the other bosses are paying attention. You could probably goof off. What is it? Oh, hey, tomorrow's Thanksgiving, right? So you could go to work on Friday and do your, for those of you who have to work on Friday, you could do your Black Friday shopping. and the bosses aren't paying attention. But if this guy was your boss, he's not only paying attention, he's got some kind of spy computer program that's, he knows, like Santa Claus, he knows when you're sleeping and he knows when you're awake. So when you see the King of Coins, now all we're going to do is we're just going to compare the kings to each other, and then we'll go into other stuff. But just in comparison, when you see the King of Coins, I want you to say, this is a man who's alert. This is a man who's here and now. He's in the present. He's paying attention to what's going on. You with me so far?
Yeah.
All right. Now, King of Coins. This guy's pretty self-explanatory. On the surface, is smug bastard. Now, we're going to get into elements in a moment. But just posture, this is a man with a lot of confidence. So the first thing you look at him and say, this guy has more confidence than he knows what to do with. This isn't saying whether he can back it up or not, but this guy is very secure in himself. So that's the key element. So we've got the guy who's paying attention. He's watching you. We've got the guy who's just full of confidence. Now we have Mr. Action. So when you see the King of Coins, when you see the King of Wands, I want you to think Action Man.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Mr. Squiggly. Everybody else actually seems to be pretty confident. I mean, the King of Swords is looking right at you. He's like, oh, what are you talking to me? Sorry, I had a very bad De Niro. I should be shot. All these other guys, you know, they're pretty confident. This guy, you know, that's not exactly his forte. Forte. It's like ones. King of Ones. So, we're using the Rider-Waite deck, or the PCSRW in this case, any one of the original Rider-Waite decks that has been redrawn or recolored, such as the Albano-Waite, the Universal-Waite. So you see the ship, and it looks like a giant fish. Maybe it's supposed to be a whale. Maybe it's supposed to be a fish.
I can see that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
The waters look a little rough.
Exactly. See how the waters are like, this man. There's a couple of different ways you can read it. You can say he's a concrete slab in the middle of rough seas. So this man is an island of tranquility in a storm of chaos. You can say that. Or you can say, it's going to confuse people, but just go with me on this for a moment. Or you can say, well, obviously he's got his throne like everybody else, but everybody else sitting on solid ground. This guy is, the waves are going, the ship's in the background, and you can see from the sails that the wind is blowing, because otherwise the sails would be, you know, they have the doldrums. So it's a stormy sea, and it's windy. So he is in a tempest. So here we have a very emotional king, or maybe a very unsettled king. So all these other guys, pretty sedate, sedate. King of Coins certainly sedate. King of Wands is ready to go. But then let's go back to this. We're still holding on to the King of Cups. We're going to compare him to the King of Wands. Wands. You're not going to let me live that down. Both of these people seem to be emotionally charged. The King of Cups, because he's associated with emotion, and also because of the water, which is his element, is all stirred up. The King of Wands is, he's ready to fight. So he's on edge.
Ready to, like, do something because the foot looks like it's going into the water.
Ryan.
Is he ready to, like, test the waters out or something?
He could be. If you notice the Queen, however, of Cups, her foot is blue. It is water. So these subtle indications, and you won't see these in other decks because they'll have their own variations, or they might have moved it. But notice the fact that he is kind of askew. He's kind of half out of his seat. His seat is facing us full on 90 degrees perpendicular, or actually it's facing us, it'll be 180. but it's squared off. He is at a slight angle. So just looking at the cards before we make any elemental representations, we get clues. All of these, we can say, are men, if we want to use them as men. And I would generally use them as men or authority figures.
Okay.
But the differences, and this is how we get in detail and specifics without having to memorize a whole bunch of mumbo jumbo. Just look at them and see the differences. We've got Mr. Smug, Mr. Action, Mr. I'm looking at you, I'm watching you, Mr. You know, clear thought, and this guy over here who's kind of like, I don't know. So now when we add the elemental associations, yes, we have water. Maybe his foot is into entering the water. But remember, he's not somebody who's like afraid to jump in the water. He is the king of the water. I am the king of cups. So he could probably just start swimming at any moment. You know, he may be going, okay, but he's not on edge the same way the king of wands is. Otherwise, that would be redundancy. And one thing you can't have in a deck that's effectual is redundancy. So we have our water element guy whose signification is emotions. We have our King of Wands guy, which is significant of fire. This is passion. Obviously, he wants to go stomp somebody's butt. That's a very passionate thing to do. Maybe she'd go visit the queen first, you know, vent some of that passion if she's in the mood. Otherwise, because, you know, when you just go picking fights, you're just going to get in trouble. Unless you win and get to rewrite history. King of Coins, he's not going anywhere. This is another thing. The coins are almost universally accepted as an element of earth. As you can see, his gown or his stately robe is covered with vines.
Mm.
Now, you also see around him you have actual vines. So this is to imply that he's kind of one with the earth. You know, there's an old saying that as goes the king, so does the land. Now, the king, in essence, is supposed to be so tied with his country that he is one with the country. In that sense, this is a throwback to the ancient feudalistic notion where the king is the land is the king. He's not just some, you know, overfed, overpaid patriarch who gets to do whatever he wants and abuses people. So if you're looking for a good leader, you need a card that says, here's a good boss, or here's a good man to follow. I would say use the King of Coins, because even though he's smug, we can look beyond that and we can see that's the whole point of the robe blending in with all the stuff around him. It's to say that he's not just covered in the earth, he is one with the earth.
Did he looks happy, content, secure.
Yeah, he's got money. Not just money. He's got money, and he's the king. And he's probably pretty good-looking, too. I mean, he's kind of the trifecta of being a guy. Oh, and of course, it's the middle of a sunny day. There's no clouds. Not that there's any really clouds in the tarot. There might be a couple clouds here or there. But generally speaking, there's not really weather in the tarot. But did I over-explain it enough? You kind of getting it?
Well, I definitely understand the King of Coins for sure. Yeah,
that's okay. We don't have to go back over that. Okay, so let's go back to our original guy, Mr. King of Swords. Now,
yeah,
notice his posture. Well, he's also he's very upright. Very,
he looks mad.
He looks Saturnian, very Capricorn, very. Okay, you know what? Let me step back. You said he looks mad.
He looks a little pissed off.
I want to validate that. Okay, I don't want to just run all over and tell you what I think. I want us to stop for a moment and say, what you see in the card makes sense. Mm-hmm. And that's the essence of what I'm trying to teach you is, if you see it in the card, yes, it works. I would like to say he looks very stern, but I like men.
Sure, I was just going to say that. I swear to God, you took the word out of my mouth.
Oh, well, see, that's okay. So at one moment, he might look mad. At one moment, he looks stern. But he has a very upright, rigid posture. Notice his throne is like an obelisk. I'm assuming it's an obelisk. It's going up straight. He and Mr. Mr. King of Wands. Both have the very tall, upright throne that, you know, goes off the top of the edge. The other two are very squat. So again, air, fire, you know, not limited by the earth, not pulled down by gravity. So, you know, we can look at the clouds and we can see the little butterfly, and that's funny because a big tough king, right? Just, oh, he has butterflies. You know, why don't they just put a goddamn Hello Kitty on his throne? It's like, look macho now, man, huh? But yeah, I mean, he's got butterflies. He's got butterflies, and if you notice, crescent moons, which is kind of a, you know, it's a very subtle thing, and they're facing in because, again, inward protection, outward, you know, the outward side is the protective shield. You could be saying that it's protective if he's protecting his emotions. But, again, I don't want to go into speculation. I don't want to go into deep image deconstruction. I just want to stay on the surface here and say, here we have a guy who, as you said, stern, angry, sitting upright. He's definitely wielding a sword. You can't, no matter what you say about the elements, this guy has a sword. Nobody else has a sword. The King of Wands is a stick, but a sword is a sword. And, you know, throughout history, the guy with the sword wins. Now, it also looks like, unlike the other kings, and I'm just checking to make sure. Oh, hey, King of Cups, I might be wrong. Yeah, the King of Cups has a ring. Very hard to see. And the King of Swords has a ring. Let's see. Now, King of Cups, ring is on the right hand. King of Swords, ring is on the left hand. Does that matter? Got to ask Pam, but she's not around. So, now, again, now we're deconstructing little minor things. But this is where you can choose to start to build identities. And that's what we're doing, is the court cards are very stagnant. They sit there, especially the kings. Unlike any one of the minor cards. I'm just going to try to pull a minor card. Let's see if I can do that. Ah, Ten of Coins. Okay, Ten of Coins, we have people doing something. We got an old guy petting a dog. We got a little kid grabbing the tail of a dog. We got a hot chick chatting up a hot guy who's got a spear. And it's all like, hi, we live in this wonderful town and we're all wealthy and we've got power. But, you know, it's just upper middle class. We're comfortable. But it's a scene where something is happening. Court cards are just sitting there. I am because I am. And in that sense, it harkens back to the concept of nobility and, you know, birth by divine right or whatever, right of rule. So in order to understand these, we need to build personalities into them so that we can say, okay, well, when a king comes up, okay, we're going to do this. Take your four kings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pick them up, please.
Yeah.
Flip them over so that you are looking at the backs of the decks.
Okay.
Kids at home, you can try this too. All right, so now we're just going to shuffle them, just these four cards. Not really shuffle them, we're just kind of mixing them around.
Yeah.
Now, I want you to flip over the top card. Which king is it?
King of Wands.
Okay, so it is a king, right? I got the King of Cups, mm-hmm. so I gotta cheat and go back to that. King of Wands, okay. Now, how would you say at this point that he's different from the other kings? Because he's just a guy, he's just a king. But what is he doing, or what does it look like if I said, here's a king, what makes him particular? What makes him different?
It looks like he's not really paying much attention to what's going on. He's in deep water.
That's a good one, okay. So you may say something different at some point, or you may always come up with the same answer, but I doubt that. But at this particular moment, you look at him and you're saying, here's a man who's just not paying attention.
Yeah, he's not really paying attention. Looks like he's just indeed doesn't really care.
And that's good.
He's in deep thought, or maybe he's coming up with some idea or something. I don't know.
This is good because, see, now what we've done is we've taken four kings and we've given them different expressions. Yeah, this guy's doing this, this guy's doing that. Okay, take the next card behind it. Which king is that?
King of Swords.
Okay, well, now, compared to the King of Wands, who's not paying attention, what do you get from this guy? Just off top
Oh,
head.
he definitely is. He's letting you know he's boss. He knows what's going on. He's the ruler right now, so I see him at this very minute.
Very cool. So he's doing the alpha male thing. So here you have a choice between men. You got the guy who's not going to give you any attention, and the guy who's like, "Hey, I'm right here, you're right here. Let's do this thing, whatever this thing is." But he's in your face. Is that what I'm? Okay. So now, does this help you differentiate or clarify when the kings come up a little bit?
Yes, it
Okay.
does.
Okay. We're just going to set them aside for a moment. And again.
But if the King of Wands is like
Huh?
movement or action, right?
Well,
And
it can
she's
be
sitting
whatever you
doing
look
nothing.
like, but it could be whatever you like, but generally it is a fire element, but you don't even have to look at that. You can look at him, and to me he looks poised, like he's ready to go do something. But he's not sitting there like the King of Coins. He doesn't look like he's moving.
Oh, he's going nowhere.
Right, so that would definitely not be an action card.
Yeah, right.
I mean, considering the fact that, yes, all of the kings are sitting, I would say possibly, at least in my mind, the most likely to get up out of his chair, I would say would be the king of
Cups.
Okay, that's a good one. Maybe now thought precedes action, but emotion precedes thought. So the King of Cups, or emotion. Emotion is what motivates us. The King of Swords can sit there and think all day, or he might be commanding you to come to him. Again, thoughts, words could be the element of the air. I mean, if you want to go that route. But I like what you say about the King of Cups. He's got that emotion. He's ready to go.
Yeah,
All
how he
right.
looks to me.
This is good. All right. Let's throw them away for a moment. Let's talk to the ladies. So we have four queens. Do you have your four queens in front of you?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Yes,
Now,
sir.
let's give me a queen. I'll let you pick what the first one is. Fine.
Queen of Cups.
Okay. Now, they're all queens. They're all women. They're all sitting down. So again, we're going to look to see which one is doing what, and that's just going to kind of help us figure out a little bit of who they are or what they're doing. Because remember, these cards could show you a person who is doing something, or it could show you the characteristics of that person. So we've got the Queen of Cups, and she is sitting on the beach, and she is holding up an urn or a cup. I had a Turkish coffee maker once that looked just like this. But whatever it is, she seems to be staring pretty deeply at it. So, do you think she's listening to what's going on around her?
No, she doesn't seem like she is, not to me. She's staring at this thing. Maybe it was a gift.
Yeah, maybe she's saying, "What the hell is this thing?" Now, it's got the signs of the zodiac around it. Well, it looks like the signs of the zodiac. It could be wrong. Again, it's hard to tell with Pam's art. And it's got two angels with their wings, up above, sweeping over. So I would say, just off the top of my head, that she is deep in thought. So here is a woman who is very imaginative, or deep in thought, or kind of lost to the world. She's not really all there. Or maybe she is, wherever there is, she's somewhere else. Do you agree with that, or do you want to point out something different?
No, just I was gonna crack a joke. Maybe there's a genie in there.
Hey, maybe there is. That
She's
would
thinking
work
of what
too.
wish to make.
Again, see, that goes with the Queen of Cups. So maybe here's somebody who wants something more out of life.
Yeah, well, So when I see her looking at that, I don't know. For some reason, I think genie. I don't know why.
And no, that's good because it follows the whole Aladdin thing. It could be a genie in a lamp. But it also, not to get this too complicated, but that looking for the genie, looking for something, emotional unfulfillment, or desire for something, thinking about thinking about what she's wishing for, all of that fits into the element of water. So, I mean, in this case, the picture fits the element. Yay. Okay, somebody brushed my... Are we there? You can hear me now, right?
Yes,
my roommate just brought me a white chocolate mocha from Starbucks. I know. See, genie in a lamp.
So you got your wish.
Coffee is always my wish. So, you know. Yes, white anything that says mocha and frozen whatever, I'm good. Okay, I like the way this is going. So let's take a look at another queen. Which one strikes your fancy?
I got the Queen of Swords.
Wow, what a contrast. Now, first thing, let's put them together. Let's put the Queen of Cups on the right,
mm-hmm.
and Queen of Swords on the left.
Yeah.
Notice how they're facing each other.
Yes.
So you could say, here's someone who sees things one way. I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to bring this into politics, but let's say Democrat and Republican, or agnostic mm-hmm. and religious. Well, actually, agnostic and religious works because, you know, element of air, element of water, but I'm getting ahead of myself. What we have here are two different opposing opinions. That was redundant and complicated and didn't have to be. So the blue sky, we both have blue skies. They're both sitting on gray thrones, but they're facing each other, or you could say they're facing different directions. You mix them. You put the Queen of Swords on the right, then yes, of course they're facing different directions. Now, to help us understand the Queen of Swords, how is she different from the Queen of Wands?
She looks as though she's trying to give her a blessing for something. I mean, her hand is out, go ahead and do whatever. How I look at her. She looks very strong.
Yeah, she's a very strong woman. Would you say she's present and in the moment?
Oh, yes. She looks
Like whatever is in front of her, she's paying attention to?
Yes, for sure. And with her arm up, I don't know, it's as though she's giving her blessing. To me, that's how I feel.
Right. Maybe she's gesturing at someone. Maybe she's giving them a blessing. Maybe she's saying continue. But unlike the... So don't let me lead the witness here. Let me make sure that this is right. But the Queen of Cups seems to be lost in thought or focusing, whereas the Queen of Swords is here and now, and she might even be... Maybe she's the one who gave her the cup. Maybe she's going, and it's got a million household uses. And the Queen of Cups is like, because maybe it's just Pam's artwork, but the Queen of Cups kind of looks like she's frowning, like, how do I work this thing? Of course, Queen of Swords doesn't look happy either. I don't know. Pam should have made him happy. Yeah, happy. If I ever draw a deck, which I doubt, I will draw a happy deck. So actually, I'm working on the stick figure tarot. I've been working on it forever. That's a big revelation. I know there's a stick figure tarot, and if you've done the stick figure tarot and you're listening to me right now, don't take this wrong. I don't like your stick figure tarot. Look, everybody go buy the stick figure tarot. It exists. Yeah, you know, it's a happy deck, whatever. I think differently. I would, you know, I take a look at both of them and whatever. But yes, so there's my disclaimer. I'm working on a stick figure tarot because it's basically all I can draw is stick figures. But I've been working on it for a number of years, and it's just a fun, happy, silly deck. But it is, I'm going to do my best to make it symbologically absolutely correct and true to the tarot, not just some goofy stick figures. So, Queen of Swords, Queen of Cups. Now, for those playing at home, Queen of Swords, swords are often as in 99% of the time, associated with the element of air, and the wands are associated with fire. Some people rightfully argue, and this is a very real possibility, that the swords can be representative of the element of fire because of their violence, their command, their destructive ways, whereas the wands are representative of air. Now, I know this will make some people shout and scream because it's just against their belief system, but generally speaking, most people believe, for whatever reason, and that's why we believe it, because most people believe it, that swords are air. So if we go with that, we've got thought versus emotion. This is the big classic battle of the brain. And you want to go one step farther? If we put the queen on the left put the queen of swords on the left and the queen of cups on the right, we've got the classic left brain, right brain, because they're in conflict.
Mm-hmm.
So the lesson of the day is, make them work together. Put them together into one picture. And now you have a little tarot spell, making the two queens, the two elements of two hemispheres of the brain, working together to get total brain activity.
That's cool. That makes sense.
More on this in Advanced Tarot Secrets, which is not going to be coming out for a while. If you have any questions, write me. Okay. Real quick, this podcast is brought to you by me. I am Dusty White, the author of The Easiest Way to Learn the Tarot Ever. It is the only tarot book on the market that is 100% guaranteed. If you buy it and you think it sucks, then you can get a hold of me, and you can prove to me that you bought it, and you can prove to me that you think it sucks. I mean, in other words, don't run a scam on me, but if you buy it and you think it sucks, call me. I'll probably just buy it off you here. I say probably because I don't want to end up... You know, there's always a lawyer out there somewhere. I'll, you know, technically, whatever. I don't say this because I want you to buy my book because I make $8 off it and I go to Aruba. I want you to learn the tarot. I want you to learn the tarot, and I want it to be easy. If you use somebody else's system, great. If you just want to listen to the podcast, great. Go to Easy Tarot Lessons. Sign up for our free tarot lessons. They don't cost anything. And you get the podcast and you get the articles and the blog. But it all is designed around the book. So there's the commercial. EasyTarotLessons.com, it's all free. Except for the book. The book's $22, but you don't have to buy that unless you really want to learn the tarot. Now, we've got the Queen of Wands and the Queen of Pentacles. We're dragging a little bit behind, so I'm going to speed this up a bit, if you don't mind. The Queen of Swords and the Queen of Cups are both facing 90 degrees away from us, right? They're facing left or right.
Mm-hmm.
The Queen of Wands is facing us, and the Queen of Pentacles is again... Or Queen of Coins, as I like to say, is facing it's a full 45-degree angle, but it's kind of angled. Now, here again, we have the Queen of Coins or Pentacles versus the Queen of Cups. We already know our anchor point is that the Queen of Cups is staring at this cup. Would you say that the Queen of Pentacles is also engaged in thought, or not?
She looks secure, like she's got money or security or thinking what she's going to do with that. I mean, she just looks really happy with her money.
Well, let me add to this. Notice how the land behind her is all fertile.
It is.
I mean, there's even, you see the bunny down in the corner?
Yep.
Right. And the goat on her throne and the pear, all of these are visual, and of course the vines, which I believe those are pomegranates, but they might be roses. That matters less than the fact that all of this fruitful fertility, the Queen of Coins is very fertile. Mr. Rabbit says, like a bunny, she's a baby machine.
Okay.
So these are indications how one queen is different from another. So here we have a very intellectual queen, queen of sorts. Here we have a very dreamy woman who's very imaginative. Maybe she's wondering what's going on. Here we have a very earthy woman. You know, again, you said she's secure. Yes. The lands around her are rich and secure. She's got a big, giant coin. I mean, that's a big coin. Even
she has a big
queen.
Bank account.
And a huge bank account. I don't need no man. That damn straight woman, you got everything you need. She is just fine the way she is. She's not uptight. She's not in a rage. She's very sedate. I mean, just looking at the picture.
Mm-hmm.
So these are three different queens, or all queens, but we're starting, and this, we're just on the very edge, but we're just starting to see, without having to make up any rules, without having to borrow from some religion, we can just look at the pictures and see how one queen is different from another. And so when it comes up in a reading, it's not, oh, it's the Queen of Pentacles. It's like, here's a very sedate woman. Here's a woman who's rather well off. Here's a woman who's just comfortable. And she looks good, you know. But here's another queen, Queen of Cups. Maybe Queen of Cups could be a woman who lives on the beach. But she, most likely, she's a woman who wants something. Woman who's lost in thought. Woman in Queen of Swords is more paying attention, more giving her blessing, as you said. I like that. I'm going to steal that. It's on tape now. On tape. That's funny. That's all I am. So now we come with the Queen of Wands. My favorite card, because she's got the mangy cat. The mangy cat is not going to detract from her beauty because, again, the fire sign, but getting my head of myself. So notice her posture is very upright. She doesn't even set the flower down. It's like she's holding it up.
She has a big ego. She looks like she has a big ego.
Yeah.
She's very, proud.
Mm-hmm.
She's a know-it-all.
So here, what we've done is the court cards were just a blob of different people. But now they're starting to get their own identities. Now we're going to put these guys off to the side because we can always come back to them, but I don't want to drag this out so long that people are going, oh my God, this is horrible. Would you put the knights out in front of you, please?
Oh yeah, I love the knights.
The knights are a lot more expressive than the kings and the queens. And even the pages. The knights are a good place to start. Hindsight, everybody who's already listening, if you just tuned in, start with the Knights. Okay. Let's start with the Knight of... As a matter of fact, I'd like you to do this. From left to right, on the left, put the Knight of Pentacles.
That's what I have.
Next to him on the right, or to his right, put the Knight of Cups.
Oh, I can't believe I have that one, too. You're guessing this.
All right, go for the third one. Then put the Knight of Wands.
Oh, no, don't have that.
Ah, see, that's because you're doing it wrong.
Oh, it would have been unbelievable.
I know, and I would have taken credit for it. Okay, now, we have the coins or pentacles, then the cups, then the wands, then the swords, right?
Yeah.
First thing you notice, two are facing left, two are facing right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, pay very close attention. Knight of Pentacles, he's at a dead stop. Knight of Cups, his horse is walking slowly. Knight of Wands is ready to charge. Knight of Swords has left the building. He's now, all these other guys are sitting around going, okay, I'm getting ready. And he's like, he's out the door. That horse has left the barn.
Yeah, I never noticed that before. Wow.
I know, that's because I'm a genius. Okay, enough of that. Self-aggrandizing and whatever. I can't even say, damn it, Eddie, in other words. Aggrandizing. This is stuff that I want you to learn. You're not going to learn it anywhere else. If you do, tell me. Tell me who's teaching it, please. I'll study from them. Right now, we haven't gone into any ooky, spooky, oh, ka-blah-blah, or anything like that. And no offense to the ka-blah-blah, but... Look at the cards. That's all you have to do. They tell you what it means. These are all actions. But we have a dead stop. We have slow and steady. Here's what I like about the Knight of Wands. He's raising his horse up. He is rallying the troops. He's not going anywhere. You know, he gets credit for going anywhere. But the Knight of Swords is the one who's... Look at it. I have a horse care degree, by the way. So, I mean, this is why I love it so much. Is that if you're looking at the Knight of Swords, notice how his pupils are all the way back. Notice how his ears are pointing back. And his legs are fully extended. His four legs are fully extended. He is in mid-run, mid-jump, mid-stride, full gallop. More than likely, he's in a jump if his legs are extended that way. But his eyes should be forward. His ears should be pointing forward. He is moving at such a speed, he needs to be looking at what's ahead of him, not looking behind him at the crazy man that's beating him to death. The only reason why this horse is looking back and his ears are pulled back. When a horse is looking back, his ears will be pulled back. You can always tell by watching a horse's ears where he's looking at. And you'll notice that when he's looking back and his ears are going back, he's not a happy camper. So that's an indication that this knight is riding his horse much too hard. This knight is hyper-aggressive. Now, if we see, we can also see the trees are being blown over. See that in the Knight of Swords?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So there's high winds that are blowing. So he is fighting against the wind. And then the clouds in the sky, the few clouds that are in the tarot, are very jagged. So all of this is designed to show us action and adventure and intensity. So I'm going to ask you in a moment what you think about the Knight of Swords. But first, I just want to make sure we're clear on this. This guy is moving really fast. Now, Knight of Wands, he kind of looks unsure of himself. See that goofy expression on his face?
Yes.
And hence, you know, what's the first thing that you do when you're surrounded by a bunch of friends and you're confronted by an enemy and you're not feeling very comfortable in your own skin? Is you puff up like a peacock, or you try to get your friends to support you and help you fight this big enemy, or at least help you scare the enemy away. So again, he's rallying the troops. He's raising his horse up high, calling attention to himself. He's got a stick like, hey, everybody. He's not in a combat mode. Sure, he's wearing armor, but of course all the knights are wearing armor. But he is making an announcement of his intentions before he moves. Otherwise, he'd be over there with the Knight of Swords. Now, again, these guys are facing to the left of us. You know, so they're, I guess that would be left. There's another way to put it. Knight of Cups. A couple of things. And this is, I want you to look, I said walking. I was a misnomer. He's actually
trotting.
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 Yes. A horse walks with 3 feet on the ground, trots with 2 feet on the ground, canters 3 feet on one foot on the ground, and gallops with no feet on the ground. A gallop, a horse is actually leaping. So in this case, this is one of those things where you'll see in dressage, or horse ballet, or equestrian shows, where in English riding, they're sitting up very properly, very straight, and the horse is trotting, and they sit and they bounce up, and they sit and they bounce up in the saddle. That's kind of what he's doing. The horse is at a trot, but notice he's got him pulled in very hard.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So he's got the horse reined in. He's holding his cup very steady. And the river is in front of him. He has not crossed that river. Three clues are right there. He is the Knight of Cups, so we're just going to say watery emotions.
Mm-hmm.
Follow with me on that. He hasn't crossed the river yet. He hasn't made a commitment. You know, he's approaching that point. He has not. Here's a man who's not made his commitment yet. He's also reining his horse in because his point where he has to commit, his deadline, is quickly approaching, and he's holding his cup steady. So all of these things point to a man who is very or the action, because remember, knights are generally action. This is the action of being reserved, or it could be a young man who is non-committal, or is holding back from committing. Now, he is taking, I mean, he is in action. He's not sitting there doing nothing. I mean, you want to talk about sitting there doing nothing? Let's take the Knight of Pentacles. His horse is at a dead stop, and also, again, he's reined in very hard. Matter of fact, if we look, all three of the knights are reined in hard, except for the Knight of Swords, who's, you know. So the knights in Pamela's eyes are an all-or-nothing thing. There's three of them, the conscious awareness, the mind, or the knight behind the horse, the mind that is behind the body, is saying, hey, let's slow down. So Pamela's very extremist in this particular sense. Do you see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, Mr. Horse is here at a dead stop, and I like the fact that he's black. We'll go into that later. What I want you to see, though, is that he's not going anywhere, just like his mommy and his daddy, but he's holding a coin, and he's holding it up high, like, well, not, you know, he's holding it up like he's saying, hey, you see this over here? You want some of this? Mad Max, you know, you want this, whatever, gasoline, whatever, you talk to me. So that's what he's doing, is, unlike the other guys who are at least making an effort, he's sitting there saying, you're going to come to me. So when I talk about dead stop, moving slowly, getting ready to go, and balls out action, what we have are different actions, different speeds. You could say this is going to go quickly. Matter of fact, you could just pull the knights out and do a one-card reading based on four cards and be just as accurate as any reading you'll ever do if you need to ask how quickly or how slowly will something happen. Now, real quick, since we're up to 49 minutes here, probably less after I cut out one or two glitches where somebody brought me Starbucks. Do you have any questions about the knights? Are they making sense to you?
Yes.
Yay. Don't take my word for it as gospel. Of course, this goes to everybody. But I just want to point out the pictorial elements. You can add all of the ooky spooky extra stuff you want. We're not going to go into that in this podcast because, again, we're trying to do it in 30 minutes. We're going to go to an hour. Thank you for being with us. But what I want you to do is be able to just, with this podcast and a deck of cards, you can learn how to read the tarot free, and you can learn stuff that you won't learn anywhere else, and you don't have to pay for it. But my special student, who is my private student, is going to learn a lot more, because before the conversation, after the conversation, or at least this podcast, we're going to keep talking. We're going to go over a lot more stuff, but this is not a commercial. That comes later. Now, the pages. These are pernicious little cards. Can you lay out the pages in front of you, please?
Okay.
Let me explain something from the book. The book is the easiest way to learn the tarot ever. If you'd like it, you can go on Amazon.com and you can actually start reading it free of charge. Or you can go on GoogleBooks.com and start reading it free of charge. You can't read the whole thing free of charge. But you can read a lot. You can actually get into it and say, is this guy full of shit? Is this a decent book? Read it for yourself. See. And if you like it, buy it at your local metaphysical store. If they don't carry it, hop onto Amazon, Barnes & Noble. If you spend $3 extra on Amazon, you get free shipping, which I recommend. Or if you have Amazon Prime, you get free shipping. Or you could buy the deck with deck of cards. Or you can tell me to go jump in a lake. As long as you end up learning. And one of the benefits of being one of my private clients is the fact that you get to sit on the tarot. Sit on the podcast. And I will take the time to explain all this to you and answer your questions. That's a side thing. It's $25 a week if you want to be a private client of mine. It is the most affordable thing you can find. Now, that commercial is over. You can find lessons, details at easytarotlessons.com. Remember to sign up for the free lessons. Now, about the pages, real quick. Do you know in Royal Society what position the page held?
Uh,
Okay, that's okay. I'm from America. I vote red, white, and blue. This monarchy stuff, yeah, it's for somebody else. And no offense to all of our wonderful people all over the world who do live in monarchies. I don't. So the pages, as I understand it from research, this is not from actually having lived there and know all of it. I'm not claiming to be some kind of absolute tarot scholar. I'm just a really good tarot teacher. So the pages, as I understand it, were the subclass. You had the pages who served the squire. The squire served the knight. The pages were like little errand boys. It was a very, very honorable thing if you were wealthy or if you were nobility. If your son, I don't think it was ever a daughter, although it might have been, in a pinch. But if your son was conscripted or allowed to be in the service of a knight, little errand boy, 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, however it was, and they would go learn the art of being a gentleman. And so the squire was the right-hand man of the knight. He did all the stuff, help him get armor, take care of his horse. I mean, it was basically like the knight's personal attendant, the knight's secretary. The page was just a little student. And that's why pages in the tarot mean students. They're just young kids. So pages could be babies, they could represent a birth, they could be kids, but they also are said to be messages or communications. So this is where it's like, oh, all these different meanings, which one is right? Well, you just got to go at the moment with what works. We'll go into pages more in depth later on. Right now, and of course in the book, it's right there in the book. And if you tell you what, I'll write a lesson on it and throw it up for free on easytarotlessons.com. We'll go all about that. But I don't want to bog everybody down with all the various meanings of the pages. But I want to point out how they're different. Again, from everything we've studied, now we know to look for personality traits. Let's do them right to left. So let's take the page of coins or pentacles and the page of wands and put them on the left. And on the right, let's take the page of swords and the page of cups. So the two pages on the left are facing the two pages on the right. This isn't in any particular order, by the way, at this particular moment. I've just put them left to right. So the page of coins, what's he doing?
He looks like he's holding his coins, looking what to do, maybe trying to figure out whether to go to school, what school to choose, or what to do with his money. I don't really know.
Is he standing holding a coin?
Yeah.
Okay, that's what he's doing. He's standing holding a coin, and the ground around him is very fertile.
Yeah.
See the farmland in the back? I mean, yeah. Pamela specifically said, this is irrigation, and here's an orchard. So he's probably pretty well-to-do. He's probably like Paris Hilton, billionaire baby. His family gave him some money. He's not exactly poor. And that's not good. That's not bad. I mean, well, of course it's good. It's always nice to have resources. So this probably isn't the first coin he has. To me, and I don't want to force feed ideas, but try this on for size. It looks to me like he's kind of worshipful of the coin.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, because he's, and this could be just Pamela's artwork, but it looks like he's holding the coin delicately. Like, oh, it's my magic coin. It's my wonderful coin. I love this coin. It looks like he's singing a song or making a poem in honor of his coin.
Yeah, it does look like he's holding it very delicately.
Now compare this to the four of coins. The guy who's sitting in the middle of the city, and he's holding onto his coins really tightly.
Mm-hmm.
Or the six of coins, where you got the people who are like, "Can I please have some coins?" He's neither one of those. He's neither I'm holding on to it tightly or I mean, he looks like he's just out there just kind of enjoying it, just kind of lost in his coin. I have the coin. So this is a bounty. This is, it's good to be this guy, is it not?
Yeah.
There's no war, there's no famine. He's not banged up, not like the Five of Coins. Those guys are looking really bad. Outside the church in the snow, leper, got a bell around his neck.
He does look like he's in awe of his coin, or his money.
So he appreciates. Here we have somebody who is kind of worshipful, kind of like, you know, puts a high value on money. But again, as a message, you know, maybe this could be just starting out with money. Again, you know, we don't want to confuse it with the ace, which is obviously just beginning with money. So we're just going to set that aside for a moment. We're going to take a look at the Page of Wands. Now, some people say he's ready to make an announcement. I always thought that he was looking up at his stick.
Yeah.
I mean, he seems to be holding up, appraising it. Now, here's the clue that I want you to be very careful attention to. You've got the king, you've got the knight. Remember the knight? We're going to go back and dig out the Knight of Wands. See that big, giant, orange, feathery plume on his helmet?
I noticed that.
And down his back, the big, fiery plume? Because
mm-hmm.
It's supposed to look like fire? Well, look at this dude. The Page of Wands. It's just a little...
The same outfit, almost the same design.
Right, but he's just got a little lick of flame. A little tiny lick. It's like, hello, I'm a little spark. He's not a bonfire yet. He's just a little spark.
Yeah.
So this is the spark of creativity, the spark of fire, the beginning of an enterprise. This is a student of the martial arts. Martial, fire, war, arts. Arts is arts. Everybody knows what arts is. Let me explain what arts is. Okay. Page of Swords. This guy looking for a fight or what? Look at his stance.
Yeah.
Maybe he's dancing.
Is he standing on like a mountain or what's he on?
Well, he's on his little perch, and see, there's a very good point, and thank you for bringing it up. He's got the high ground.
Yeah.
Kind of like the guy in the Seven of Wands. I almost said six. You know, the guy who's standing there and everybody's attacking him, and he's like, oh, but he's got the high ground. Well, he doesn't have anybody attacking him, but he is on his perch. He's on his little pedestal. He's on his little, you know, cap or peak. So, yeah, he's on his own little tiny mountain. You're not on a big mountain. They're in the background. But notice how the wind is blowing his hair back, or maybe that's him just throwing his, you know, swirling his head around like, ha-ha, I'm looking at you. So maybe this could be being surprised. But now, we're going to go to the page.
He's ready for something.
He is ready for something. That's what I was going for. I'm glad you brought it up. So he's on guard and ready for something. Now, Page of Cups. He's got a talking fish. But worse, he's listening to the talking fish. And he seems to be very happy about having a talking fish.
How do you know the fish is talking?
His mouth is open.
Oh, okay.
Well, that and the fact that...
He can't breathe.
Help me, there's water right over there, put me back. Okay, I made a part about talking fish, but I do like the idea that his fish is talking. That's a personal inside joke with me. But anybody who sees fish in their cups has either had too much to drink or has one wild imagination. This is what we have. Now, we got to four different pages. So, pages our messages, children, being in the concourse of study, concourse is a passageway, or thoroughfare, but being in the course of study, they also could be the beginnings of things. They could be news, babies. But the difference is, here we have a very imaginative one. Maybe it's the Page of Cups. It's very imaginative. Maybe it's a love letter. You know, something to do with the emotions. Page of Swords. You said this guy's ready for something. It's like he's defensive. Maybe it's a legal action. Maybe it's a letter of intent or a notice. It could be a notice of eviction again. You know, Page of Wands. Again, some people, and I say some people because I hear it over and over, so I want to give the audience a chance to know what other people have said, just in case they haven't heard. A lot of people say announcement. Again, I like to see that. I look at it as more as an appraisal, because to me it looks like he's appraising his deck. But it could be a business venture, you know, enterprise. So this is going to be your homework, because I want you to read my book. I don't have the book in front of me, so I can't tell you what page is. Yes, I have it right here. Well, actually, it's going to change from page to page, so rather than... here it is. Page 198, Page of Swords. So go and read the pages, but also read the beginning of each suit. At the very beginning, it says the House of Swords, the House of Wands, and in there it'll have a sneak peek at the royal cards. I want you to read up on all the royal cards. That'll help you with your court cards. Do you have any questions about the pages? Because I don't want to spend a lot of time on these at this particular moment. We'll cover them in print.
Oh, no, I don't.
Okay, good. So, at the sake of not keeping everybody on the podcast forever, even though we have gone an hour, I want to thank everybody for listening. Real quick, please go over to easytarotlessons.com and sign up for our free tarot lessons. There's no gimmick. We just send you the link once a month, maybe once every 2 weeks. You'll get an email that says, here's the new podcast, here's the new written lessons. We do interviews with tarot experts. Some of those will be on the podcast. A lot of them will be email. We just had an interview with Kipling West, who did the Halloween deck, a very good friend of mine. And my new friend, actually, Kipling West is my tarot BFF. So, new interview with Mary Kay Greer. I just set up the interview. Mary Kay Greer, I will tell you right now, has written 100 books on the tarot. She's been reading for a million years. She and I share a lot of the views on the tarot. And just because we're real smart, we disagree on a lot of things. And that's good, because I want to expose you guys, not just to my beliefs, but to other people's concepts on the tarot, as long as they're valid. And Mary Kay Greer is super valid. So if you haven't heard of her, look her up on Amazon. You know, buy from your local store, please. Support your local retailer if you can. If they don't carry it, well, they don't carry it. Then you don't go to Amazon. I think we're going to talk. We might talk at some point about her book, 21 Ways to Read a Tarot Card. But I have some questions for her from the students and some of my own. I did ask her if she was Team Edward or Team Jacob, so I'm excited to hear what she has to say about that. If you want to find out if she's Team Edward or Team Jacob, because Twilight, the last movie just came out, or part one of the last movie just came out, you're going to have to go to easytarotlessons.com and find her interview. I'll put a link on the front page. So I thank you all for joining. If you made it this far, if you have any questions, email me at dustywhite.net and say, I have questions. I will be happy to help you. I am here to help you learn the tarot. Thank you, and good night.